Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, a retired priest of the Diocese of Youngstown. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Tim. I'm not too retired, or I wouldn't be here, see?
Well, we appreciate you still giving us some of your time.
I'm grateful for that, but I can.
Beautiful. Well, today we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, and that's the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're in Section 2 about how we celebrate the mysteries of our faith as Catholics. And we've been discussing the liturgy and its importance. Today, let's again define a liturgy and then talk about the symbols and the signs and the gestures that we use during liturgy. What is liturgy, Father?
Okay, Tim. I'm going to define it first, just as we've been saying, that it's the official. Liturgy is the official celebration of the church or the worship of the church by which Jesus makes himself present in his paschal mystery. The way he died for us, rose for us, the new life he gives us, that's all made present. It's not just something we remember from the past. It's happening now in the sense that Jesus is with us. And this is the official way that we celebrate his presence among us. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the term is so rich that the Eastern churches, like the Orthodox, mm-hmm. as well as those of our own church that are called Byzantine, and other, they all like to talk about the divine liturgy. Huh? Mm-hmm. And St. John Chrysostom wrote prayers that we use called divine liturgy. Huh? So,
I think you make a really good point that God is with us here today and now. So that when we go to the liturgy, God is present there, right in that moment in time. And we can be with our God.
That's right. Because he can touch us in ways there. I, probably like you, Tim, there's favorite places I have. The first time I saw a real mountain, I felt so close. Oh, my gosh, God must be here. It was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. The same thing can happen holding a new baby. A lot of experiences bring us into the presence of God if we have the faith to realize God is right here giving me this gift. But oh, my goodness, when you realize that God has become one of us. And that's the key here in the UCAT catechism here, where it says, God has become incarnate in the second person of the Trinity, the Word that became Jesus. He is incarnate. He took on flesh. We can touch God here. He can touch us. In a way that touches my flesh and touches my heart and my mind, because I'm a human being. And so I don't have to wait till I'm in heaven. And we have that mistaken idea, don't we, sometimes, that mm-hmm. we're souls waiting to get out of the body. No, we are. Jesus became incarnate. He became one of us. And we are flesh, we are soul, all one being. Huh? And so my being is touched when I come to Mass. It's Jesus as the incarnate Son of God is there with me.
And it's very similar, Father. In the Old Testament times, people went to temple and they offered sacrifice. And the sacrifice they offered was an unblemished lamb. Mm-hmm. Lamb.
Yes.
So now we see in the New Testament church, in the New Covenant church, we do the exact same thing. Instead of going to temple, we go to church and we unite ourselves with that once and for all sacrifice of Jesus, the Paschal Lamb, in the Paschal mystery.
That's right. And I like the way you keep saying church, that we do this. Sometimes I think we're tempted to just get caught up in our own feelings, our own moods, and we become a sort of isolated people from each other. But we can see that's the whole problem with our families, with our world, that God intended us to be one family, one body. And so when we come together on Sunday, especially, we are coming as a people. And so that's why we need to realize that everything I am as a person, we are as a people, needs to be part of what I'm doing there. So that's why I'm going to have to sing, probably, because when I celebrate a birthday, I don't just recite, happy birthday to you, you know. I join my family in singing that happy birthday. And so we come together to use signs and symbols, I think, in our liturgy, don't we, Tim?
Sure, and that leads me to my next question. Okay. Father, why are there so many signs and symbols in the liturgy?
Probably, Tim, I'm laughing because I just think how rich we all are. I mean, I'm looking at you across the studio, and you have a certain amount of hair on your top of your head. I have less, but that's just one little sign that because we are people, we are so rich in the things of our body, and rich in the things around us. God has given us the need for food, and we don't have to just eat bread, although we call it the staff of life. Not too long ago, we celebrated family dinners at Easter time, and each of us had a certain love of not just the first courses, but most of us probably love the dessert course too. Mm-hmm. So there are just many, many signs, not just at a single meal, but throughout our life. Huh? I see that. Do you have a ring on your finger?
I do.
You're a married man then, see? And at least I take it that that probably means that. And so we have rings. We have just gifts all around us that are part of our life. And the Lord calls all of life to be one of the ways that we, those gifts of life are brought into liturgy. So we decorate with flowers, and we light candles, symbols of the light of Christ, the beauty of Christ. And we have not only the signs we see and hear and smell, like incense. Some people love the incense and some people don't, but they ask me, why do you use incense? Because it's a sign that the Jewish people gave us that, huh? When their prayer says, like, my prayer rises like incense before the Lord. It just reminds me of what a holy thing I'm doing here. I'm so close to God when I'm doing this. And so not only do we have things that are symbols for us in the church, but we have gestures, huh? And we can hold our hands in certain ways that are expressive of our prayer. We can bow before the Lord, or we Catholics talk about genuflecting before Jesus in the sacrament. When we listen to his word in the gospel, we stand up. So we have all these gestures that are used also as ways of expressing that something real rich is going on here that we can hardly put into words, but using all these signs and symbols, we're touched by a mystery that is far beyond anything that this earth could give us all by itself.
Well, I think, too, because we're human, we have our senses, and when we're trying to worship God or connect with God, we need to use our senses of taste and sound and smell and hearing. Again, by using that, we can enhance the experience of us uniting ourselves with God. Just why the part of the Heavenly Father's plan of salvation was for his Son to become human.
That's right.
He didn't have to do that.
That's right.
But he chose to do it that way so that we can relate and we can connect. Some of the Jews had trouble with that because they kept looking at him and saying, he claims to be God, but he walks like a man, uh-huh, and talks like a man and sounds like a man, but he's God? You know, same thing with the Eucharist sometimes. People, yeah, look at it and say, gosh, that doesn't look like God.
Yeah.
So again, our senses enhance our ability to worship God and celebrate that.
They invite us into the mystery that it all is. Huh? And remember what a mystery is. We said yesterday, it's a divine reality that it's unable to be totally seen or heard by the eyes and ears of the body, but the soul will be touched through the body. Huh? The heart will be touched through these signs.
Okay. Let's talk about the liturgy and time.
Okay. Time. We never have enough of it, do we, Tim?
I know I don't.
Yeah. We're always saying, well, when I get the eighth day of the week, I'll get around to this. You know? But every second of time, time is what? The measurement of motion. And so the motion of the earth and the and the sun and so forth. All of what we experience in life as time is filled with God. Time is a gateway, you might say, into God and into eternity. So liturgy reminds me that my time is precious. It had a beginning. I was conceived on a certain day, but I'm going to have a dying day. And so time for me is very important because I want it to be filled with meaning. I don't want to just be wasting my time, as we say. There's times to relax, but there's times to work. I think Ecclesiastes said it well,
There's a time for everything.
Yeah, that's right. But everything can be filled with God. We can be with God when we're happy, but God can be just as much with us when we're sad, when we're getting married, or when we're living a separate life, or even a widowed life. God is still with us, and wherever we are in life. That's right.
Well, Dr. Scott Hahn says that liturgy is where heaven unites with earth, because heaven's outside of time. Mm-hmm. And when we die, we'll be outside of time at that point. But until then, how are we spending our time? Are we spending our time putting God first? And if we are, how much time do we spend, not just on Sunday, but during the week and indeed daily?
That's right.
Are we in the habit of daily prayer, whether it's the rosary or the Angelus or whatever prayers that we might say? That time is for God.
That's right. It's a great gift that right now, at this very moment, there's people that have never turned on radio before to a Catholic program. Who are these people? What are they talking about? Huh? This is a special time for such a person. It's a time of curiosity, but it might be a time of grace, a time of a gift when I think I need to listen more and learn more about how my life can be part of the experience of Jesus before the Father. All time here is already being celebrated in heaven too. You say, we're an interesting people because we have a 1 foot on this earth, but we've already got a foot in heaven, so to speak. That's what liturgy is doing for us.
One final question, Father. Why does the liturgy repeat itself every year?
Probably because we need it. we just celebrate everything around years. Huh? We have Christmas every year. We have birthdays every year. And the liturgy reminds us that the events of the Lord, Jesus, in his life, just as he lived it, day by day, year by year, so he continues to be with us all through the year. And so that it would be... how could we celebrate Christmas 1 year and then say, well, 5 years from now, we'll do it again? Huh? No, we just need to do that every year because the year is a great gift to us, and we want the Lord to be part of that.
Yes. I know here in Ohio, I love the springtime when it comes every year because it reminds me of what I love about living in Northeast Ohio.
That's right.
When it's sunny and warm and beautiful.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Father, for sharing those thoughts with us on liturgy today. And I want to thank you for joining us today. This is Tim Perry. Until next time, may God richly bless you and yours. Thank you.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.